Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we go. And Elijah sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. But instead, just as the Lord had fed 5,000, just as he had given manna in the wilderness, again, we read how the Lord provides not death, but life, food in a desolate place. The Lord had blessed the work of Elijah. Evil was being rooted from the land. Prophets of evil were destroyed, but now exhausted from his work, in a weak moment, Elijah hid himself in a desolate place, not looking for rest, but wishing he were dead. Elijah had just suddenly appeared on the scene, it seems. God has a way of putting the right pieces in the right place at the right time. His marching orders were clear. Shut down the murderous activities of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Purge the land of the worship and activities of the false religions of Baal and Asherah. And destroy the prophets of the same. And having done as much as the Lord had called him to do, Elijah would, at the mountain of God, receive the name of his successor, of his replacement. And it would be a 40-day journey for him on foot. But we're not there yet. The text says that Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. He went to the desert of Judah. He sat under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "I've had enough, Lord. I can't do this anymore." Have you ever prayed those words? I know I have. And usually when I pray those words, I follow it up with a long list of things that I think the Lord should do to fix whatever it is that's wrong. "Lord, give me the strength to do this, and you do that. And you do that, and you do that, and I think you should do that," and the list goes on and on. But then after letting me go on and on about how I just can't do this anymore and I need him to fix it my way, he gently reminds me that he's got this. He's got this. He reminds me that I can trust him and that I need only to ask help. Help. "Lord, you know what's best, so please just help." Elijah was to that point. But instead of asking the Lord for help, in a moment of shame and despair, he asked that he might die in that place under that broom tree. The Lord had done mighty things through Elijah, through his life. But in a moment of doubt, he ran. And now filled with shame that he had run, Elijah convinced himself that he deserved only death from the Lord. But the Lord would answer Elijah. Well, there's three ways that the Lord answers our prayers. Yes, no, and not yet. The Lord answered his prayer, "I wish I was dead," with an emphatic no. Not yet. We're not done here yet. "Even though you stopped asking, I will help." The Lord knew what Elijah had been through. He knew what Elijah had done and what he had left undone. And he'd already forgiven him. In the same way also, the Lord knows all that you've gone through. He knows what you're going through. He knows all that you've done or all that you've left undone. And just as Elijah, you are his precious child. Jesus died on a cross for that thing that you did or that thing that you didn't do that you should have. It is forgiven. And it is gone from you. And so the question for Elijah, the biggest obstacle that he faced as he lay under that broom tree was, could he forgive himself? You ever heard anybody talk that way? Maybe you've talked that way yourself. Can you forgive yourself? For the Lord has already done so. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "All that the Father has given me comes to me. And all who come to me, I will never cast out." Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on this bread, on these truths, Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Not will have, but has. Did you notice that the Lord didn't bring up the subject of Elijah's failure? Instead, God fed him with the food of angels. He calmed Elijah's soul. He met Elijah's physical need for food and sleep. But this wasn't the first time. At the onset, when God first called Elijah, he sent Elijah to rebuke Ahab, the most notorious and wicked king of Israel in the line of many wicked kings. The Lord had commanded Elijah to prophesy against Ahab, saying, "The Lord, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." After that, the Lord hid Elijah, sent him to a brook on the east side of the Jordan River. And there Elijah drank water from the brook, and the Lord sent ravens. He sent birds to bring food to him. Just as Jesus had said, "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, to be sure, these things that Jesus spoke of in our reading today, he was saying, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fed." For faith is the spiritual eating and drinking of God's word. In faith, we receive God's forgiveness. In faith, we receive life and life eternal. And so just as the Lord had commanded the ravens to bring food to Elijah by that brook, just as the Lord sent an angel to care for Elijah in our readings today, so also he gives us what we need for the support of this body. As our catechism says, even without our prayers, he just takes care of you. And when that brook by which the Lord had hidden Elijah finally dried up because the drought was great in the land, the Lord sent Elijah to Zarephath, to a house of a widow and her son, that they also might receive each day daily bread from God. In that house, the flour and the oil for bread never ran out through all the days of that drought. And in the third year of the drought, the text says, 1 Kings 18, the Lord came to Elijah at Zarephath and said, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the land." So Elijah went. And when the king saw Elijah, how's this for a welcome home? He said, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" But Elijah answered him, saying, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, you and your fathers before you. You have abandoned the commandments of God, and you have followed the Baals." And with that, Elijah challenged Ahab to a final showdown. The 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah, those who poisoned the souls of the people, they would demand a sign from their gods, fire from heaven. But Elijah would pray to the one true God. These are the things that led up to Elijah running and hiding himself in our Old Testament reading. For in that final showdown, the Lord at the hand of Elijah struck down with the sword those 450 prophets of Baal. And at once the Lord sent rain on the land, marking the beginning of the end of that drought, marking the beginning of the end of pagan tyranny in the land of Israel. But when the king, glad about the rain, told his evil wife all the signs that Elijah had done, instead of being glad with him, she called for the murder of Elijah, just as she had done for many other prophets of God. So instead of sending ravens to feed Elijah, the Lord sent an angel. In my mind, I see that as a show of force, a visible sign for Elijah, well, that the Lord was there, that he's stronger than his foes, and that the Lord should lose none of all who believe in him. So as Elijah slept under that broom tree, behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake of bread and a jar of water. Elijah ate and fell right back to sleep. And I've always wondered, how could he fall asleep? There's an angel standing there. And as I thought about that, I'm reminded of my kids when they were little and they're in the high chair and they played all day and there's supper in front of them and they're just doing their best to stay awake until finally you look and their cheek is in the vegetables. That's how I wrap my mind around how Elijah could fall asleep knowing that he was just fed by an angel. But exhausted as he was, the angel had to awaken him again. And after having been fed body and soul, having his body and soul refreshed, he went in the strength of that food until he reached the mountain of God. The Lord provided bread and water, food for the body. The presence of the Lord's angel and his message that the Lord awaited him at Sinai was food for Elijah's soul. Elijah had said, "Enough, I can't do this anymore." The Lord said, "Yeah, you can." Elijah said, "I have become like those you sent me to rebuke." The Lord said, "We still have things to do." The Lord was still with him. And so, strengthened in body and soul, Elijah took up his cross. You've heard that phrase. We toss that around a lot. Elijah picked up the broken pieces of his life, and he followed where the Lord would lead. Quite the opposite of the folks in our gospel reading today. Like Elijah, Jesus had fed them bread in the wilderness. He had taught them of God's mercy. Jesus had fed them body and soul. And still they refused to follow where he led. They refused to believe. This is Joseph and Mary's kid. And yet Jesus kept on teaching them, saying, "I am the bread of life who comes down from heaven. He who believes in me, or he who follows me, will never hunger. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." They had seen Jesus' miracles. They had heard the message of God's mercy and forgiveness. Yet they demanded more. It just wasn't enough for them. They refused to believe. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life come down from heaven. I have come to do the will of him who sent me. I will lose none that belong to my Father. I will raise them up on the last day. I have seen the Father because I am from the Father. I am living bread that came down from heaven so that one might believe and not die, but live forever. This is my flesh. I will give for the life of the world." He was trying to tell them, if they would just listen, that he came to die for their sins. He came to die for the sins of the whole world. He was headed to a cross. But does it seem like Jesus kind of repeats himself a bit much here? Kind of redundant? I had the privilege of witnessing someone making bread this week. And as I witnessed those hands mixing and rolling and kneading and mixing and rolling and kneading over and over again, as I witnessed the repetitive process necessary for preparing bread dough to make proper bread, food for the body, it occurred to me that that's what Jesus was doing with those unbelieving souls. It's the same technique that I used when I was in college. When I was a student, I was preparing for an exam. I had learned that if I repeat something 5 to 7 times at least, gradually, over time, that thing that I studied became my own. Jesus kept repeating the truths of salvation to those who refused to believe over and over again, that the forgiveness and salvation of which he spoke might become their own. For no one can come to him by their own effort or strength. No one can believe in Jesus unless the Father draws that person to him. So Jesus was drawing them. So with the expertise of one who transforms plain old flour into bread, Jesus kept repeating the truths of faith that he himself might transform grumbling souls into believing children who walked in love as Christ first loved us. For the bread from heaven of which Jesus spoke is his very life sacrificed on a cross. Paul puts it this way, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, that whoever believes in Jesus, he will never cast out. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when evil threatens, and you wonder if God cares, if you feel shame, if you feel like somehow you have let him down, if you've ever prayed, "Lord, enough, I can't do this anymore," take heart. For these words that Jesus spoke in our readings, he speaks to you. He says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. For everyone who looks to the Son of God and believes in him shall have eternal life. The journey set before you may indeed be too great for you alone. But praise be to God, you're not alone. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life, and all who come to him, he will never cast you out." Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.